Welcome to From the Center with Deborah and Dr. Rob. This episode is going to be about spirituality. Are you really spiritual or are you just pretending? Find out in our show this week. This is From the Center with Deborah and Dr. Rob Maldonado, founders of the Center of Jungian Positive Psychology, empowering women to live their purpose, go for their dreams, create empowered relationships with themselves and others. We offer world-class leadership and coach training programs for women with a mission based on the latest research in neuroscience, psychology, and Eastern wisdom. Now let's get ready for another inspirational episode of From the Center.
Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about spirituality. Is it real? Are you real? Are you really spiritual or just pretending?
Well, you and I always joke about the time when we first met, and we used to go to this Buddhist center in Denver, and there was a nun there, and she was very strict and very particular about Buddhism, and of course, you know, this is what her life's work. And we were in this class, and they told us about to do some kind of spiritual exercise that we were supposed to do. And
taking on somebody's karma.
Yeah, taking on someone else's karma. It's like a taking on the pain of others, and you're feeling it for yourself. It's a beautiful concept. And so I started doing this with someone who had actually screwed me over with money, a woman who gave me a fake credit card for when I was a hypnotherapist. And then it's some weird thing showed up with me with money, with someone stealing my credit card. And so I went to tell the Buddhist woman, the nun. I said, "Hey, again, LaSalle," I said, "you're not going to believe what happened. I did that taking on others' karma. I did this for this woman. And then this is the karma started coming back at me." And she looked at me quite surprised. And she said, "Well, you're just pretending to do the exercise. Like, what did you expect?" And so it's really funny how we think that being spiritual means that everything is going to, red carpet's going to be laid out for us, and we're going to be in a blissful state for the rest of our lives, and we're really not going to have to work at it and really understand what is going on. And I just find it so interesting how that showed up so quickly when you work with your mind, how the shadow elements come in. And I think throughout my early life trying to be spiritual, I really didn't think I was spiritual. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is what is real true spirituality?
Yeah. And a lot of people mistake it for religious ideas, for cultural norms, for kind of personality traits about, you know, being spiritual, if you wear a turban or beads or something.
That crystals.
That they think that makes you spiritual. Not that it doesn't, but in essence, I say when we get to the psychology of the person, the main problem is that people believe they are this persona that they built. And that they think if I have a spiritual persona, meaning I have a personality that practices, does certain things, believes certain things, that's as spiritual as you get.
Like people who go to yoga once a week and they say, "I'm spiritual, I do yoga," or "I meditate," or...
Yeah, most of the idea that we hear is that I believe, therefore I'm spiritual. But belief, just like Jung says, it's a poor substitute for inner experience. Belief is not a spiritual practice. Belief is simply like I just believe, you know, there's a higher power or something.
It's like an intellectual understanding of what the world is about, who you are. I hear a lot of people throw around the term my true self, my higher self. And I remember just in my early discovery and my early exploration, they were really nice concepts, but I really didn't understand what they were because I still had this human mind that was still having stress, that still wanted love, that still wanted to be happy, that wanted to be financially secure, all those things that we want. And it's this, sometimes it's just like, well, how do I can go to my meditation retreat, but then I come back to real life and how do I integrate that? And so when we think about it, we have to know the difference between our ego and what this true self really is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think Jung really gave us a map for that, unlike in any other spiritual work I've ever read, Carl Jung came up with the individuation process, which is that you're not getting rid of the ego, but you're understanding that the ego isn't all who you are, that there's another element, a bigger, more powerful part of yourself that is connected to everything.
Yeah, it's certainly Jung considered everyone to be spiritual in that sense, that we have that God instinct in mm-hmm. us. You know, if you put people in an island somewhere and take away everything they know about technology and history, somehow they will start to seek out a spiritual essence in mm-hmm. themselves, just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's an instinct in human beings that we have to transcend ourselves somehow.
I think it also, when we have trouble in our lives, when we have a hard time, we're struggling financially, we're struggling with relationships, or we're starting a business, or really struggling with our career, people passing away. I mean, just life has a bounty of opportunities. And in those moments, I think that's when most people really do start to look within. They start to ask themselves, what is life about? What happens after I die? What's my purpose? And that's the innate part of us that seeks spiritual knowledge and seeks that spirituality within ourselves. And it's not like I used to think of it as more of a cushion or comfort away from the world, like a way to buffer me from the problems of the world. If I just put light around myself and only surround myself with conscious people and do good and pay attention and make sure I'm responsible for my own life, that I'll be rewarded somehow. And I think that we limit ourselves when we think of spirituality as just of this blanket of comfort that it's going to give us.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Marx, the idea that religion is the opiate of the masses, meaning it's that comfort that people need to reassure themselves in an otherwise chaotic and materialistic world. But that's kind of a cynical perspective on human nature. Jung certainly considered more of an Eastern philosophy of we are in a conscious universe, and our nature is to seek that spiritual essence out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always being called to do that. What happens is that in especially in modern, the noise of the modern world kind of drowns that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so externalized, so focused on sensory stimulation through screens, through computers and bells and whistles, that we forget that journey.
Mm-hmm.
We lose touch. We lose the thread of that. And certainly suffering, the nature of suffering, and like you say, the world is always replete with suffering. It's going to happen whether you seek it out or not. You're going to experience loss. You're going to experience doubt, fear, all those things. Those things are really meant to put you back on track,
mm-hmm.
to help you seek out that essence again, to find that spiritual ground for yourself.
It's in those times of when the external world isn't cooperating with us that we're forced to turn inward. And that's why the gift is when that love doesn't show up, or the money doesn't show up, or the job doesn't show up, or the person leaves us that we thought they were going to be there forever. We can't rely on that external comfort anymore, so we have to go inside. I think, though, that the ego is designed, though, to keep us in survival and comfort. And so it'll use spirituality to keep us in a lower form of spirituality, of like more of a comfort of just kind of knowing that there's something out there. Those are really good ways the ego uses to kind of find balance. But there's another level of spirituality that goes much deeper. And so when we think about Carl Jung, he talked about the individuation process, and that is that we, the first part of life is building up this ego, surviving in the world, and the second part of life is really understanding who we really are beyond the conditioning. And underneath, through our life, since the first moment of breath we've ever taken, we've had this other part of ourselves that's been following us, just, you know, in the background that we haven't noticed is always there, that our true self, our true essence, that has never been harmed, that has never been damaged, that's never been wounded or, you know, traumatized or anything like that. It's pure. And that's really who we are. And that's why we always talk about that you're nothing happened to you, like really, truly can never damage you. That happens in life. And spirituality is about connecting with that piece, not just to making the outer ego persona look pretty and spiritual and I have it all together and I can manifest things whenever I want. We want to go into who is this nameless, formless part of myself that is eternal, and that's true spirituality. And we can understand it intellectually, but how do we really get a direct experience of it? That's the question.
Yeah, and I think it comes from seeking meaning out of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that questioning, that quest, that wrestling with your inner demons and your inner angels, and really engaging with those deep philosophical questions. Which, you know, if you talk to a kid, they have the right questions. It's like, what am I doing here? You know, why is the sky blue?
Why are you going to work today, mommy?
Why do you have to work? All those things, you know, we tend to forget those questions as we get into adulthood and we focus so much on the external appearance of things. Part of individuation, a big part of it is focusing inward again, focusing on that question of what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Who am I? And really engaging with it. And the great news is that we're all spiritual. Mm-hmm. It is our essence. It's simply that we forget, that's all. So as soon as you focus inward, the light is there. Mm-hmm. The energy is there. The spirit is there. And it comes alive. You don't have to wear a turban. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to shave your head and be mm-hmm. a Buddhist. You can. I mean, those things are, let's say, they're expressions of that deeper journey. But you can do it in your cubicle, anywhere.
Your commute.
Yeah, because it is our essence. It is our mind. And Jung always emphasized that. Be genuine. Do not try to just imitate others. Do not wear a turban just so that you can impress others and think that people are going to think of you as spiritual. Find it within your own searching, your own questions.
I have something else to add too. When I was first starting out my spiritual journey in my 20s and early 30s, I relied a lot on psychics, and I felt that if people were intuitive, they were the real spiritual, quote unquote, non-religious spiritual people I knew, where they were all like psychics and intuitives, and they were all like, ooh, I know, I can read your mind, I could see your future, and I always felt that they had this like magical quality about them. And so I thought that was spirituality, that when you have these gifts, then you're more spiritual than someone who doesn't have access to that intuition. But then I got to know some people, and you hear these stories that these people, their lives aren't really that great. You know, maybe they have that gift of intuition, but it doesn't mean that they're more spiritually advanced than you. And we want to make that really clear. I think a lot of people, myself included, idolize people that have these intuitive gifts, thinking they have wisdom that you don't have. They do have a gift. There are people that are more sensitive than others to the ways of the world and seeing the future and have images, and they have those gifts, but it doesn't mean that they're individuated or that they're somehow more evolved than you because they have that gift, because anyone can have that gift. So what I encourage people to do is stop going to those people and start to rely on your own intuitive gifts, because it's kind of like a crutch. You don't really exercise your own mind. And when I stopped going to psychics and I started relying on my own intuition and reading my own dreams and understanding using active imagination, which is visualization that Jung talks about as interacting with parts of myself deep inside, I started to realize that I am intuitive. I have the answers inside of me. And that is what spirituality to me is. It's not about looking, you know, having like this magical power, but it's about understanding who you really are and that you have everything you need within you and that you can really create the world you want to be in. But you have to understand it's inside of you and there's no one else that can do that for you.
Absolutely. So yeah, at the end of the day, it is kind of trusting in your own experience and not just the appearance of things, but the genuine questions that have been there all along. And a lot of people ask, well, does this being spiritual mean that I'm not going to be angry or unhappy? Of course not. Those are the very conditions that give us the spiritual work. When we are triggered, when we are angry, when we are suffering and questioning, that's the condition right there. That's the ground of that push and pull, that wrestling with the truth that's going to give you your life. Without that, you can't do it. If you think everything is hunky-dory all the time and you're just going through life kind of numbed, comfortably numbed, that's not spiritual work. That's just like survival and comfort and seeking those things. And there's nothing wrong with seeking those things, but you have to see them in the right context, that your real life is more of an internal journey. It's an inner experience. It's not just out there on the surface. And you know, 90% of the people spend their time making sure the appearance of things is good. And as long as the appearance of things is good, they think I'm doing okay because I'm being accepted by society, by the group, by the herd mentality, like Jung says.
I used to think when I first started doing like the law of attraction work when I was... Right before I met you, I used to think that people who were able to manifest, quote unquote, certain things were more spiritual. They had that there's some kind of higher vibration or bigger connection. And we want to really be careful not to identify your spiritual work with material things. And you don't want to use your spiritual work to get material things. And you want to use the material things that you need as a tool to find out who you are. So you're reversing that I'm not going to like raise my vibration so I can get some money. That defeats the purpose of being spiritual. You're again getting into the materialistic point of view. But if you shift your mind and say, I want to use the struggles in my life, use the things that are showing up that I'm not pleased with to understand myself and grow and become, it's an opportunity for me to know who I really am. And that's really the prize. It's the freedom of knowing who you are and being able to create your life consciously. Now, if you don't do this work, if you don't individuate, you're going to repeat the same patterns. Your unconscious mind is going to drive your decisions, your choices in relationships, your choices in business, your choices in how much money you make, your health choices, and you'll really feel as though you're working against yourself. You'll also really struggle with your career and not really feel satisfied with what you're doing. So I love what you said is really individuation is finding out what your purpose in life is. It is about understanding who you're not, understanding that ego and really getting to know what your ego is so you can see who you really are. Because if you don't know your ego very well, it'll disguise itself as your spiritual partner, your spiritual voice in your head, and then you won't know who you really having a conversation with yourself is just an ego conversation. So the more intimate you get with your ego and understand that conditioning and how it ticks and your psychic creations from early on psychologically, you get to then understand the bigger picture of who you are.
Yeah. And of course, there is a lot of peace of mind, a lot of kind of spiritual tranquility, a centeredness, if you will, around individuation, because it does lead you to your higher purpose, meaning you're understanding what you're doing here, which is the initial question. Why am I here and what's my purpose? You're getting to that through that inward searching, inward questing. And that is really our purpose as human beings. It's like where the satisfaction is. It's where the creativity is. It's where you feel I'm home, instead of trying to fill the void with external circumstances, appearances, all that.
It's like a riding on the gerbil wheel, spinning and spinning and spinning, and it's never enough, and you're caught up in that ego. So for you right now, listening, the best thing for you to do is to start asking yourself what your purpose is. And your purpose isn't to pay bills and die and just find a partner so you're not alone. There's a bigger purpose for you. So before you go to bed tonight, ask your dreams to show you your purpose. Do the individuation process. We have courses that we give on that. We have a great course that we're just launching called Empowered Relationships. And really, truly, this is how you individuate. You see yourself through other people, and the way you relate to others and the way they relate to you are showing you a lot about your ego and your conditioning, that you can free yourself and start to see who you really are. And so that's what the purpose of that program is about. We have some live events, and we'd love to continue the journey with you. But this is so important for your happiness, is to find that center within so that you can create whatever you want in your life.
Yeah. And don't let anything steal that from you. It's your inheritance as a human being, as a spiritual being. And I guarantee you, nobody can do it for you. Not us, not any guru, not any teacher. But also, when you're genuine and in your quest, no one will stop you. Nothing can stop you.
And things will show up for you, opportunities for you to take that journey. And it just, once you make that decision, things start to fall into place for you. So go deeper with your spiritual self. It's more than just, you know, hitting a gong and going to yoga once a week or a couple times a week. Go in and really ask the deeper questions and start to learn how to free your mind.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. And remember who you really are. Thank you for joining us from the center with Deborah and Dr. Rob. And if you would like to make sure you don't miss an episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. We are also available on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just find us by searching for From the Center with Deborah and Dr. Rob. You can also find out more about us by joining us on our website at thecenterofjpp.com. We offer world-class coach training and leadership programs, live events, and transformational courses for you to live your best life based on Jungian positive psychology. We hope to see you soon, and believe in your biggest dreams.